News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for all the texts on the text line, 251-343-0106. It's also, if you want to give us a call, though we've got some things to get to here this half hour before we get to Rob Hulbert from Lanyap Mobile at the bottom of the hour. You see my stack here of all these Vance/Waltz stories that I was ready with today, from Waltz's wife making the news to the CNN contributor pushing back on Waltz being when the CNN host said his superpower is that he's so normal. This contributor had a few things to say about that. How normal is Waltz? We'll dive in. Bloomberg has to correct the Waltz bio about him going to Iraq when he went to Italy. More on that coming up. Waltz military record, basically overall, same story. And his claims under scrutiny, or you can just say untrue. And Vance and Kamala have that runway standoff. How bizarre was that?
Yeah, let's start with that runway standoff.
The odds of that happening. At all.
And I think they were in Wisconsin for dueling rallies yesterday. Eau Claire, Wisconsin, was where the airport was. So Kamala's plane with Waltz in tow had landed before Vance's plane. And they had, I think, a Girl Scout group out in front of Harris's plane that they had a photo op with. But again, they say she's been speaking off record with reporters, but still has yet to answer questions or have any kind of press conference on record. And that stayed the same out there on the tarmac yesterday. They did the little photo op. Actually, someone was out there yelling questions at Waltz saying, what do you have to say about these allegations of stolen valor, which were brought up earlier in the day in Michigan by J.D. Vance? Here was the Michigan rally where Vance brought up what he's calling some of Waltz's false claims here of being in battle.
He made this interesting comment that the Kamala Harris campaign put out there, and I bet they're regretting they put it out there now, because he said that and he was making a point about gun control, he said we shouldn't allow weapons that I used in war to be on America's streets. Well, I wonder, Tim Waltz, when were you ever in war? What was this weapon that you carried into war, given that you abandoned your unit right before they went to Iraq and he has not spent a day in a combat zone? What bothers me about Tim Waltz is the stolen valor garbage. Do not pretend to be something that you're not. And if he wants to criticize me for getting an Ivy League education, I'm proud of the fact that my mamaw supported me, that I was able to make something of myself. I'd be ashamed if I was him and I lied about my military service like he did.
Yeah, so as far as schooling, the Harris-Waltz campaign trying to say that Vance and Trump are the elites, the Ivy School elites, and they're just the normal folks who did college the normal way, right? And Vance said, no, actually, you know, I got into Yale, but that's after I served. And
yeah, he went to the... He had no future ahead of him, really. I mean, he was limited because of finances, and he joins the military, joins the Marines, early 2000s, I guess, right? He's about 40 years old now. So he joins the Marines.
Then 17 is when he joins.
17 years old. I mean, he grows up in a blank hole, okay? It's not good. The area is not good. It's a depressed area. Drug use, crime, it's all very normal in a town like that. At that time, he is able to, by joining the military, then afford himself the opportunity at Ohio State, where he not just graduate, he excels. Now he's offered the opportunity to go. He earned everything he got. He wasn't handed anything. Read the book. I know it's his own words. If it was an autobiography, maybe something would be different. I don't know. When you're retelling your own story, it's probably going to look good on you. But in that book, there was a lot of things that he told that weren't great. And certainly, so I just don't understand how, first of all, just top of the first, how Waltz can make fun of, basically, and criticize Vance for advancing when he was a kid with zero chance.
Yeah, but that's the route they're going. And I think yesterday...
It shouldn't hold up. It should not hold up.
A strong day for Vance yesterday. And as he interacted with it's so genius, because remember last week Kamala said, Vance needs to say some of this to my face, some of the things he was saying on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. So he sees their plane over there, runs over there, and starts talking with Kamala's press pool.
Yep.
Then he returns over to his press pool, and this is what Vance had to say.
I just wanted to check out my future plane, but I also wanted to go say hello to the vice president and ask her why Kamala Harris refuses, why does she refuse to answer questions from the media? And I also thought that the press gaggle following her might get a little lonely. I at least have enough respect for you all and for the American people you report to come and talk to you.
So some of the issues at hand here with Waltz and the rhetoric he's used in the past about his military service. This was from a while back, I want to say 06, 07, right after he won that seat in Congress, a year or two after he retired from the military, before his guys were sent to Iraq. This was him on C-SPAN, Tim Waltz, from about 15, almost 20 years ago.
I spent 24 years in the National Guard, some of that full time. I was an artilleryman. I deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. My battalion provided base security throughout the European theater from Turkey to England in the early stages of the war in Afghanistan. And that same battalion is now in Iraq at this time.
And so the Command Sergeant Major, who I believe replaced Waltz on that
for that
tour,
battalion,
to Iraq, he was on with Laura Ingraham last night, and he spoke about Waltz saying that he served in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. Usually, if you say you were in Operation Enduring Freedom, that means you were in Afghanistan fighting. He was in Italy, right, serving in support, like he said, but the way he kind of said it makes it sound like he was in the thick of things. Let me see if this is the right clip from Thomas Behrens, the retired Command Sergeant Major. You can tell he's from Minnesota. He's the man who replaced.
He's got that accent.
He replaced Waltz as Command Sergeant Major.
I mean, technically, in the old days, Operation Enduring Freedom was Afghanistan, and Operation Iraqi Freedom was Iraq, and he spun this, you know, where we were in support of Operation Enduring Freedom, and the people in the unit that he was at in Italy were, you know, supposedly going to get deployed to Afghanistan. I mean, there's documents out there that state some of those lies, and the 173rd Airborne was in Italy. That's their base, home base, and they actually air assault, or they parachuted into Iraq at that time. So, I mean, his spin was a lie then, but back then, you know, some of the party would basically say that they wanted to Afghanistan was like the real war and Iraq wasn't. So if you're in support of Enduring Freedom, you know, you were in the war you should be in, and Iraqi Freedom was kind of Bush's war.
And that's interesting, that distinction, when you're political and saying you served in the Afghanistan war rather than the wrong war, the Iraq war.
Yes.
There's video of Waltz campaigning for John Kerry back in 04, mm-hmm. where I think his sign said something along the lines of vet from Operation Enduring Freedom for Kerry, like they're against Bush's Iraq war. Here's the other clip at hand with Waltz, I think more recently, trying to push gun control legislation. And he's doing this before a crowd, I believe, in Minnesota. And he's talking about the weapons of war, like he used in war.
I've been voting for common sense legislation that protects the Second Amendment, but we can do background checks. We can do CDC research. We can make sure we don't have reciprocal carry among states. And we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons are at.
The weapons of war that I carried in war. Now, Behrens, the retired Command Sergeant Major who replaced Waltz on that tour, this is what he had to say about that clip specifically.
To most people, that would mean that he was actually in combat, carrying a weapon in a combat zone and getting combat pay and in a dangerous, hostile environment where he is getting shot at. I mean, if he thinks Italy was a combat zone or a war zone and he was carrying that in war, he's delusional. I mean, that was all said, just like him saying he was a command sergeant major, just another way to embellish his career beyond what it was, stolen valor for the people that actually were in war, and he's acting like he was in war. Well, yeah, he carried an M16 back when we were in, I don't know, maybe he never even had the thing out of the supply room in Italy. I would really doubt if he ever did. I don't think I ever had my weapon out in England. My soldiers did, but I was out there making sure that they had food and making sure that they had a good place to sleep and made sure they're leave. I mean, that's what a first sergeant does.
So there's kind of at least three angles to this story. One was, has Waltz been lying about his rank this entire time?
Yeah, saying it appears he has.
Retired command sergeant major. This is what Barron's had to say about that. Once it comes up, hold on.
Yeah, there's like 2 years of college that's involved in becoming that, by the way.
That's way far darker than a lot of people think. I mean, it is stolen valor. He's used the rank that he never achieved in order to advance his political career. He's done it for decades now, basically. I mean, maybe not decades, but damn close to it. I mean, he still says he's a retired command sergeant major to this day, and he's not. He uses his rank, of others to make it look like he's a better person than he is. He still does it, even, you know, just however long ago.
So Waltz here, he's been putting in his bio for all these years. He's retired command sergeant major. Apparently, when he was given that rank, when he was given that promotion, he didn't follow through with the required classes that you're supposed to take, and also
nearly 2 years.
Yeah, and then the service you're supposed to continue with in order to keep that rank. And so that's one angle to it, is he lying about his rank? The other here is when he says that he served in support of Operation Enduring Freedom, is he kind of, you know, shading the truth some there to make it appear that he was actually fighting in Afghanistan? And then the third, and I think the most possibly egregious here, is did he know that orders were coming down, that he was supposed to head to Iraq? He had this congressional race that he was either already involved in or starting to get involved in. Did he retire from his service once those orders came down that they were about to be sent to Iraq? And I believe his guys ended up spending more time fighting in Iraq than just about anyone else. I think 17 to 22 months. And so I think those are the three main angles here, with the third being potentially the worst. If he knew that he was about to be shipped off to war and
decides to I'm out,
be out so that he can serve.
And he was a commander, so he was over troops, and they proceed without him. The guy that you played the clips from,
Barron's,
he replaced him.
I believe so, yeah. And he was actually, this isn't news because he is the VP candidate
now. No, it was news in Minnesota even back then, correct?
It is.
He was getting pushback from veterans and people that served around him or with him or knew about it, even as he was embarking on its political campaign.
Yeah, and so the Harris campaign, they continued to defend Waltz's record. And Governor Waltz was deployed to Italy in support of Operation Enduring Freedom while serving in the National Guard. We appreciate his service and we appreciate his being deployed, but there's a huge difference between being deployed to a base in Italy and being in a combat zone in Afghanistan. So trying to kind of band-aid the things for their campaign since these allegations about Waltz came up.
You can't band-aid the weapons I used in war. You can't band-aid that. It's over. I mean, it's not over. Who knows how, what kind of coverage this is going to get and where it's all going to go. But it's very offensive to a lot of people that you would say those things. And I'll go ahead, Dalton.
So this, back in 2009, there's a video going around of Iraq war veteran David Thule, a sergeant in the Minnesota National Guard, approaching Waltz's aides at his Mankato office in 2009. Thule filmed the encounter, in which a staffer told him she was not aware of Waltz serving in Afghanistan. He went on to present a 2004 photo of Waltz, as well as Waltz's website, to another aide who acknowledged that constituents could get the false impression that Waltz served in Afghanistan. So these allegations of stolen valor have been going on for 15 years now before he was even named the VP candidate.
Yeah, way before that. And so you wonder, with the way everything was rushed, suddenly Harris is the candidate. Suddenly Biden is out. Suddenly she needs somebody to run with him. Suddenly put up the sign, no Jews allowed for VP. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to Shapiro. And did they, in haste, not vet this guy out?
Yeah.
Because that was a public story back then.
Yeah, back then. Amazing.
It's 8:21. Amazing stuff for sure. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings at FM Talk 106.5.
825 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. This segment brought to you by the great folks over at Tobias and Comer Law, the local personal injury law firm that's helped get fair compensation for a ton of people in our area. And they've been doing it for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. Coming up Monday, I'll be speaking with Desi Tobias as some tips on getting those kids back into school and also being safe as you're driving around school zones and bus stops. And looking forward to that. It is a great reminder as school has started for a lot of folks around here. You've probably noticed if you've driven by some of these crossing guards, and just keep that at top of mind. A mistake could be deadly in many of those situations. Also later today, Dan and I will be guest hosting Midday Mobile, and we'll have Brian Comer on to talk some about this latest ruling saying that Google is a monopoly. He's going to kind of break things down for us. You can check that out Midday Mobile today at 1. To check out Tobias Comer Law, head to their website, tobiascomerlaw.com. You can call for a free consultation any time of the day, 251-432-5001. Looking at the text line, Gene, aren't you embarrassed to disrespect a man who served his country? What have you done besides bloviate most of your life? Well, Gene, I've never claimed to be military. That's
claim.
My brother's military.
You're at a very high level.
And I appreciate, obviously, I respect anyone who serves, and he served 24 years in the National Guard. But that's not the question here. The question is, did he lie about serving in combat to advance his political means?
He served, and he parlayed that into, for political gains, distorting what his service was.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, I'm not the one who has the biggest issue with this. Fellow veterans mm-hmm. have a major issue with the rhetoric that Waltz has used about his service.
I would think Democrat veterans as well.
Well, a lot of the Democrats I'm seeing are just kind of glossing over it. James, for instance, well, we could all look to Trump's military service to see what a real hero does. Trump didn't lie about his military service. I don't see why this is so hard to understand. Now, I have a problem with Trump maybe gaming the system to get out of serving. Yeah. But, you know, Trump has been, this has been discussed millions of times ever since he decided to run for president. We're talking about Tim Walz, the new VP candidate, who, according to other many veterans, including the man who replaced him, is saying that he's embellished his military record. Trump band-aided his bone spurs. Come on, guys, I served. This makes you all look like clowns, especially considering Trump not Vance served. Yeah, I appreciate your service, James, but you look like an idiot trying to defend him from this by saying, but Trump. I mean, come on. It's been 18 years.
Not the issue.
This has been going on. Let's see here. Some more text. Brandon says, okay, is that guy is going to get Clinton'd? I don't know about that. Indisputably, Waltz was enlisted. He was never a commander. Those words have specific meanings. Martin says, one thing that veterans can't stand is for one of our own to lie about it to make themselves look better. That's just cowardice.
Navy SEALs will. Well, I don't want to get into that. But they when they hear about somebody lying about being a SEAL, there's certain of them, former SEALs, that will make sure that that guy's confronted.
And there's a dude on YouTube who goes after all kinds of people who are claiming, you know, who have stolen valor.
Yeah,
that's pretty entertaining footage there. Harris surely, this is from Pete. Harris surely vetted Waltz, so this shows Harris doesn't value integrity in military service. I doubt they even understand the problem of misrepresenting one's service. I guess I need to hear more, because if it's a case of stolen valor, it would be more talked about. Every soldier carries weapons/equipment and training and service. But in that clip, and I'm sure others that have not been posted yet, he's talking about gun control and saying we don't need the weapons that I carried in war.
In war.
It seems pretty clear to me what he was trying to say.
Yeah. Not sure where the confusion is, but thanks for the text.
853 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. Coming to the phones here in just a minute. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK here in Mobile. Trey Bennett's crew has been doing fantastic work for over 16 years now, cleaning up the junk around the Gulf Coast. And they make it easy on you. All you have to do is set up the appointment. They give you a free estimate with all-inclusive pricing and no hidden fees. And then Once the work begins, they're professional. They get in there, they get it done, and they get out leaving it better than it looked beforehand. Now, 288 reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK-MOBILE on Google. Every one of them, 5 stars, which is the best you can get. Tracy just left this review a week ago. The guys were extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and fast. I'm clearing out some rooms in the house, and they gave me some good advice and information on how to dispose of some things and how they can help in the future as well. And you look up and down these reviews, everyone says they are professional, clean, courteous, and get the job done. So if you want to set your appointment up, it's very easy. You can do it on the phone by calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can do it just as easily online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Joel is in Somerdale. Joel, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Look, my family has had a house down there, or did, for over 30 years, right next to the Pullmans, right next to Neiman's. We noticed that water back in the 80s when they started really starting to dredge and stuff. And remember when they built Bird Island, now what they call Bird Island? That was all dredge material that was dumped out there. And we noticed then, which my dad and aunt finally sold off in the early, mid-90s. So all through the 70s, all through the 80s, as all three big families down there had multiple generations of kids, we noticed then the water clarity, the settlement jumping off the end of the pier then. And until these families, all these families on both sides of the bay come together, even the town of Daphne, even the town of Fairhope, Mobile, Dolphin Island, until all these come together and get one giant lawsuit and stop all this dredging and put it out of the bay, they can do whatever the hell they want with the oysters. There's not going to be no oyster population like it was back then. It's just a myth. It's a joke. It's like, yeah, they're trying to do what they can do, but part of my family's the Jemisons. Jemison's Bait Shop. That's my cousin. I mean, we know back in the day you could see hundreds of people oystering for oysters back over there and stuff, but it's not going to be like that no more until these groups of towns come together and the city, the people that live on these bays, even the people that are in, you don't think that settlement don't flow into Foul River or Dog River? I mean, just because they're pumping it, okay, say they pump it out of the water, that suction is still stirring up a ton of settlement that's flowing through the current down towards Dolphin Island. And it disperses itself anywhere on top of what they want to dump in the bay. It's a joke.
Hey, Joel.
Chesapeake Bay up there, there is no dumping whatsoever up there. There's a lot of good oysters and stuff.
Joel, I've not been invited to the Pullman or Neiman Bay House. Are you on this side of the bay?
We're on the bay side of, we know where the Alabama port is,
yes.
The blinking light is.
Yep.
Okay, all three families had houses there.
Okay.
The Pullman, after Hurricane Frederick, we built back, the Pullmans built back, and then Dr. Neiman moved up to Foul River with all his bunch.
Okay.
So that lot stayed a vacant for years, I guess, until, well, it was, I think he owned it for years after, I mean, it never got developed until after we moved out or sold out. And then the Pullmans stayed, but I think they eventually sold out too. So none of those three big families is at that spot no more, at that blinking light.
Yeah.
And it's just generations and generations. I mean, we've noticed then the clarity of the water.
Joel, thanks for the call. That's pretty good perspective right there on the water and growing up and all that.
It is great perspective. This texter says, let's just shut down the port and stop dredging. Yeah, and that's right. That's what it comes down to, is the risk reward. The reward being, you know, a ton of money coming in through the port, right? Mm-hmm. And are there places with ports that have, I'm not saying crystal clear water, but clear enough water that the same way that they've been able to fish and oyster and shrimp for years, they're able to keep that up.
I think that I've heard that there are places that do it differently, do it the way that people are requesting, and get it out of the bay.
Tim says, why does Mobile need to have the deepest port? Texter here, the bay has changed significantly. My mother lived in Fairhope late 1920s, 50 years later. When she was young, she wouldn't. When I was young, she wouldn't swim in the bay because it was so dirty. Now, another 50 years later, it's not safe to swim in the bay based on weekly swim testing. Also, fewer crabs and fish to catch.
Yeah, and it's such an absolutely beautiful pier over in Fairhope. So picturesque. 859 FM Talk 106.5 and April Marie Fogel in for Jeff Poore on the way next.